up late again, watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, cause I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes we are.
Welcome back to the Jeff Forrest Show, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday. Wednesday at the State House, third floor, ladies and gentlemen. So we are at it's the cool map room where they do reapportionment and confirmations, I think, is what else they do here. Real quick, DEI texter asked me, is Mike Ball a Democrat too? Mike Ball is now a Democrat, yes. He backed Marilyn Lantz. I know he was a Republican for years and years and years and years, but yes, Mike Ball is now a Democrat. And one more, I just heard that the radio, Tucker Carlson bought a house in Qatar. Qatar is an ally of Iran. Tucker has no criticism for the citizens being killed in Iran, but total contempt for Israel killing terrorists. So, I mean, this is it's Qatar, not Qatar. I mean, I guess it's how you want to sell it, but you're spelling it like Qatar, like someone cutting their veins or something. But I don't know about the I don't know what that is, accurate or not. Anyway, enough of that. By the way, keep them coming, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, he is usually on the program on every other Monday, but we moved him to Wednesday, so here we are in person. State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, as always.
So you're like hiding under your desk. It's been a heck of a session.
It's been quite interesting, to say the least. Hopefully things will calm down and we can finish on a high note, maybe.
I know, just meaning getting out of town without relatively unscathed, I would think. But, man, I maybe we were kind of lulled to sleep on some of this, and they was built up in anticipation it was going to be a slow session. And I know that, aside from the whole leadership drama, some of the legislation is not typical of a fourth year of a quadrennium. Now, the last time around, your freshman quadrennium, you had to do makeup for COVID. You're still, because you lost the whole session of 2020. 2018, it was dead. And I was here for that. That's when I first got back into the Alabama game. And it was a just kind of getting acquainted session for me. But this has not been any of that.
No, it's been a very unique session with a lot of the legislation that we've seen, a lot of high-profile issues. And, it's really been a lot crazier and busier than I expected.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the aftermath. It could be nothing, and people just don't even notice. A couple things, boxes to check here. Big Creek Lake, we're still dealing with that. The Mobile area water and sewer system, I guess, is still playing, God and not really interested. I guess they budget a little bit, but you're still hammering away on that.
Yeah, they're not budging much. We, did drop another bill to go back and correct the critical infrastructure bill, which is the law that they use to arrest a local fisherman, Andy Ellsworth, here in Sims, and, charge him with a felony for trespassing on the critical infrastructure. So I've got that in process, trying to get that corrected, and I've spoke with Attorney General Steve Marshall and others trying to, get this fixed so we don't have fishermen getting unintended consequences across the state. And of course, we got the other bill that is has passed out of committee that's going to prohibit a local water board, an appointed water board, not just a water board, but an appointed one, to shut down a body of water without some kind of probable cause or reason to believe or proof that there's something going on.
Do we have elected water boards in Alabama?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I was just like trying to think about that. Over here, people running for water commissioner or whatever.
No, we might need to consider that, because there's a lot of issues that are going on.
We vote on PSC. Why would, more things on the ballot, but these appointed, self-perpetuating in some cases, boards and commissions just act with impunity regarding the public sometimes.
Absolutely. I'm looking at legislation at some point to try to change the makeup of the board there in Mobile. And we've got a lot more customers and clientele that are using malls now that do not have any say-so whatsoever in the board. So hopefully we can try to get something done on that eventually.
Yeah, it just like I said, you wake up one morning and this is how we're going to do it. And look, there is a legitimate, valid argument to say this is the way we should do Big Creek Lake, but they did it with no discussion, and it just showed up one day. It was closed, it seemed like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they went in and convinced the county commission they needed to vacate House Ferry Road so they could maintain it and keep the road that led to the boat launch. Well, as soon as that was done, they went in there and change of plans. They went in there and shut everything down and, you know, trying to use the threat or invasive species as the reason for it. But that's, you know, I don't believe that that's the reasoning. I don't think that's what's going on here. And, you know, we've got other reservoirs across the state that allow fishing on theirs, and there hadn't been any issues whatsoever. So I don't believe
There's some elitist in Mobile who, you don't need to go out on that lake. That's my drinking water or whatever. But it's like you said, or like, you know, anybody says, well, we've been fishing this lake for, you know, decades and decades and decades. And I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there. Sure, if you live in Midtown, if you live downtown, you don't think that much about Big Creek Lake, other than that's where you get your water. But I think the other part of that is not really understanding that there's a, like, a cultural element here that is overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's, like you said, we've been fishing that lake our whole lives, and it's never affected the quality of water. I don't think you're going to find anybody that is pushing to get this lake open back up that's not for quality water and making sure that we find a balance there. So, you know, they're saying that we can't fish there, that, you know, could mess up the quality of water, but yet they want to put rental boats out for the citizens to rent and get on there and fish. They had a citizen arrested on a felony trespassing on a critical infrastructure for fishing on the lake. But yet they want to put rental boats out and allow you, if you rent their boat, to get out there and fish.
It's not trespassing. I mean, yeah. So, you know, whatever the law is, that's, I guess, you're on private property if you're in your own boat. But if you're in their boat, it's not. I don't know how you thread that needle with that legal argument, but you're right. It's problematic. And I mean, you have one member of the board who ran for mayor. How'd that work out, you know? And I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But I can see this is not, to me, Representative, this isn't going away.
No, and I'm in the fight. I'm going to stand up for my constituents and our citizens, and not just them. If they can do this in Mobile, then it can be done anywhere across the state. And really, I'm surprised that more citizens across the state are not getting involved in this fight, because if they sit back and wait, it will happen to them eventually.
Yeah, but it's they're never going to achieve what they want without some either legislative or legal threat to what they're trying to do. So there's, you know, they may have the power, but they don't, they're running out of leverage, I would say, to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, in my opinion, they have going for them is they got a lot of money, and they're able to pay lobbyists, they're able to pay attorneys, and they're doing everything they can to fight the citizens from having access to fish that lake.
We're joined by Shane Stringer. He's a state lawmaker from Citronelle. Let's talk about this. This always is one that gets the attention of our listeners. Probable calls, vessels, boats, you know, the Marine Patrol, just, I guess they have a different set of circumstances when it comes to whatever they're trying to do with inspections and things like that. But talk to us about what your bill here is trying to accomplish.
Sure. You know, basically the way it is now, Marine officers across the state, and this is not just ALEA, this can be the Mobile Police Marine Unit. It can be the Gulf Shores, the Orange Beach Marine Units. This is Marine units across the state. Can stop a vessel without any reason just to do an inspection. They can board your vessel. They can go through everything, which basically circumvents the Fourth Amendment. They are, you know, able to go in and go through everything. This bill is only going to cause them to have probable cause to be able to stop you and board your vessel, just like the patrol units have to do on the land.
Right. So it's just a similar, open your trunk or whatever.
Yeah, it's just putting it in place to keep, it's another checks and balance to protect the Constitution and to make sure that we are doing things the right way on the water, just like we are on the highways.
Well, why is it that way? Like, and I don't understand maritime law, but why, how did it get to this place where they are able to just board with impunity and no consequences?
It was my understanding that this rule that allows inspections was basically designed for these large cargo ships that are coming in from other countries, and they're able to go in there and make sure that, you know, everything is right. They're not dumping sewer. They're not doing anything illegal in our waters here and polluting our area. And that was more what it was in line for. And then it's just gotten to where eventually all the way down to the our local Marine officers are stopping and using that as a reason just to stop anybody, search them, check them, do anything they want to on their vessel.
Do you hear so many stories about this and you know, and you're like, well, what is going on here exactly? Why are they going, whatever led to that was, it's just,
it's,
you're law enforcement, like the Marine Patrol just decided, well, we're just going to go board vessels.
Well, it's, you know, I guess it's unchecked, as I would call it. And the, there are certain officers that are getting out there taking advantage of that rule. And they're getting out there and they're stopping everything moving and boarding people, you know, holding people up that's been out fishing all day, or holding people up that's trying to go fishing or hunting or whatever. And they're holding them up for, you know, 15, 20 minutes or longer as they go through their boat and write them a ticket for a rust spot on their fire extinguisher or something to that nature. You know, it's gone on for so long. And as I brought this legislation, I have heard horror stories from everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Especially, you know, even legislators right here in Montgomery. So it's a problem across our state. Florida just passed a law last year addressing just this issue. So I've been working on it for 3 years. It is time to pass it. Let's fix this
just
problem.
Abuse of the law and the rules. Yeah, and it gets its power unchecked. It's,
yeah, absolutely. And you know, any good law enforcement's not going to want any loophole where a lazy or a bad cop is going to take advantage of that and try to abuse their authority on our citizens.
Well, like how big, how much, you know, there, how many Marine Patrol units are there where they could just do this? You know, it seems like they're outnumbered, but you hear so many stories like,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Marine officers across the state. Everybody thinks that it's just ALEA that has Marine officers, but it is not. There's a lot of departments across the state on waterways and water systems that have Marine officers. That,
a lot of lakes and things, yeah.
That are doing this, you know. And this is not going to stop them from getting out there and stopping somebody for driving reckless or driving without their kill switch or too many people on the boat, any of that stuff. This is still going to allow them to do their job, just not hopefully abuse it.
Yeah. One more topic here, 45. You and I have spent a lot of time talking about 45 over the years. You say there's some progress being made here.
Yeah, you and Sean Sullivan have been very instrumental in helping us keep this topic in the front of everything. So, yeah, I've been meeting with ALDOT, really had some positive conversations with them, and, you know, really appreciate them listening to me and us trying to get something done. There are some talks about maybe adding some new passing lanes either extending the passing lanes we have to kind of give some relief there to give people more options to pass. So going to continue to push and press for that, and hopefully we can get something done with that at some point.
It's interesting that they're talking about it at this time, right as you're about to have a new administration.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the timing, but, you know, I did have a chance to speak with the governor recently, and I did tell her that she still got time to add it to her priority list to try to
just going to be like one of the biggest things for your district is 45.
Yeah, absolutely. Highway 45 and now 158, the area of it that's two-laned, we're seeing a lot of fatalities and head-on collisions there now. So we've got two major roadways that are extremely dangerous in my district that need to be.
That one seems like that's a lot easier lift to get fixed, 158 from the state line to where it widens, I guess, Lot Road or wherever.
Yeah, and it should be because all of the
everything's there you need, yeah. Right away, you know. Yep. So, like, this seems like something that should be, but you know how it is, right?
Yeah, no talk of it right now. So we'll keep pushing for that one, too.
Let's get a break in here. We got Shane Stringer with us for a couple more minutes. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And a few old cheating songs is open up. Look away, Dixieland. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Wednesday. We're on the third floor of the Alabama State House here, and always appreciative of the Senate caucus, Republican caucus, putting us up today. Let's see here. Got a text for you. Thank you, Shane, for your service. Former Mayor William Bush with the text line. DI texter says, no, Ball is not a Democrat. Yes, he is, and he would probably tell you he is. Just because he isn't a sycophant and refuses to worship a sycophant. Okay, D.I. Texter, Mike, what are we doing in Mobile, Alabama that we are talking about Mike Ball all of a sudden, who was a guest on my radio show when I was at Huntsville every Friday afternoon? You remember Representative Ball, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
worked with him for a while.
He was a state trooper. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But I haven't heard from him. I need to ask him what's his political partisan leanings these days, and maybe we could clear this up. The rest of the session, what you looking at here, Representative? I feel like the drama's behind us, but now it's just a smooth sailing to sign and die, I guess.
Yeah, just trying to get
budgets,
get some of my legislation pushed across the finish line up the Senate and to see what we can do there. But hopefully, you know, we can kind of, hopefully the worst part's behind us.
I feel like the mood, the Senate House dynamic has improved from last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there'll, you know, we'll have any major problems.
This is always something going on up there. It was just Democrat filibustering that backed up all those local bills. And there was some frustration between the two chambers, but so far, so good.
Yeah, it's, you know, you've got different dynamics in the two different chambers. So, of course, there's always going to be some working out to get things finished and make sure that we're trying to treat each other equally and fair.
Yeah, well, that's as the days go by. But my hope is, and, you know, we didn't spend any time really talking about it, that we got the worst of the drama behind us, because that could disrupt the session, and just you're waiting till the next quadrennium potentially here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're headed in the right direction, and you know, I'll do my part, see what we can do to try to get things done properly and for the best interests of our state.
I guess we're all looking at May 19th, and we'll have a better idea of where things are going to be, and you know that you and I could be sitting here a year from now, and who knows what the world is like, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, things are changing and evolving around us, so we're having to change with it. And, you know, that's why we're trying to fix things and do the best interest that we can.
Luckily, we have avoided the gambling hot.
Yeah. Button. Probably until now. You probably just brought it on us. So
it's like I saw yesterday it was Siegelman's 80th birthday, that the front page of the Huntsville Times had the headline. It said like Siegelman wins, and then Siegelman, you better not even think about trying to stop the lottery. And this was a newspaper from November 1998.
Yeah, pretty interesting. How'd here we are out? Still 2026.
Hey, Representative, we always appreciate your time. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks. Thanks awesome. For coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, guys, we got to get a break here. Be right back. This is FN Talk 106.5.